Hello, I'm Tony O'Mahony and I'm the head gardener here at Inishbeg Estate in West Cork.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sod Show Garden Podcast. Tony, explain to me, what is Inishbeg?
Inishbeg is an estate, a country estate that was bought by the Keane family in 1997. It comprises of a main house, a Victorian house, with 10 self-catering properties on the estate. There's a wall garden, woodland gardens and ponds within the estate. And it's also a farm. We grow organic oats and we keep livestock like sheep and horses here too.
Is it an island?
Inishbeg was an island originally, but now there's a small bridge that brings you over on the entrance to the island. But originally, there's an area where they used to take the boat from the island to the main road. But that has changed in the last 100 years. There's now a bridge to access the island.
Let's just sidetrack just to set the scene, because it was down by the boathouse earlier. And I'll put a video of that up on sodshow.com or at sodshow on Twitter, and I'll pass it on to you. Or facebook.com/thesodshow, right, just to get all that in. But it is quite, well, it's not quite beautiful. It's extremely beautiful. Yes, and there's a bedroom down at the boathouse where I think I had made the suggestion that it would most probably definitely be one of the most beautiful places to wake up to in the world. And there was one there which I was semi-delighted and also equally jealous to see. Are you therefore just about 360 degrees, give or take, encompassed by water?
Yes, most definitely. The only access is the bridge, and it's all water all around the whole island, and hence it's still basically an island. At the boathouse, it's the estuary of the Illan River that goes to Skibbereen from Baltimore, and all along that river there, it's just so beautiful. It's natural woodland, old gardens, and the boathouse itself was the original boathouse from the main house, which has been obviously restored and added to, and the location, I agree, is completely stunning, and everyone who stays at that house really comments on what a beautiful, relaxing area it is down there, because it's right on the water with decking going right on to the water, so people really, really enjoy that area. It's a beautiful area.
Let's go a stage further for those of you at home, because this is the equivalent of, for me, it's the Sunday morning by that boathouse, and you literally got to see that video. You, not only that, you've been drinking Middleton Very Rare the night before, one or two glasses, two lumps of ice tanks. You've a little bit of Hendrix on the vinyl player in the background. You wake up the next morning, you got fresh ground coffee, right? You leave there. You decide to walk up through where we're sitting at this moment in time, which is the walled garden, which in part has some of the Buxus hedging, not as you would know it, box hedging, 17th century style, but it's got all of the flowers, and there's clematis, and I say flowers to generalise, there's the rudbeckias, there's everything. I mean, it's spectacular. And the building at the back of that is a what?
The building at the back of that, in the main centre of the wall garden, is a swimming pool. So guests who stay here, we are in the self-catering cottages or in the more private houses, they all get to use the swimming pool within the wall garden, and they get to rent to use the swimming pool privately. So they book it per hour, per family, per cottage. So it's not a case of everyone just using it together. People have it kind of exclusively for an hour or two in the day to themselves, so they can kind of chill out in there whilst also being in the wall garden. And also we supply fresh boxes of vegetables to guests who are staying here from the wall garden, so they can kind of pick up their box of vegetables on their way out after their swim. And it's all there to really kind of just give people a sense of enjoying their stay here. And people like to see the produce in the garden and actually see us physically picking it, and they're having it at their door, you know, an hour later to cook with that evening. So people really, really appreciate that. You know, it's quite a nice thing to be able to do for people.
This is without question one of the most beautiful places that I've ever been to, and I've been to many beautiful, inverted commas, exotic palm trees, Dominican Republic, Madeira, you name it, I've seen them all. But this pretty much tops them.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, firstly, I love these old estates because they have that. They have that mix of old and new. And when Paul and Georgiana bought the estate originally, it had gone into total ruin. The garden, there was no real gardens here. There was the wall garden, which was completely overgrown and walls falling down. The main house was similar. They couldn't get anywhere near the water because of the overgrowth and everything. So they spent a lot of time, a lot of years planning to restore, renovate the whole gardens. So it's gone through a major change of that. But what was already here is really nice, you know, and you can't, this is the beauty of these old estates. I agree with you. We have the kind of climate here that we can grow, it just has a lush feel to it, you know, and within the wall garden, obviously, it's a bit of a microclimate, so we get away with lots of really interesting plants in here and vegetables. But in the woodland areas, we have like Australian tree ferns that are doing incredibly well. They love it down there. So the climate here in this particular part of the world, it's different 5 miles down the road, but just right here, it's very, very easy climate. And it's partly to do with the Gulf Stream, you know, affecting us here. There's a few pockets of it in West Cork where we can grow really amazing stuff. And if you're a grower, you really, really enjoy that, you know.
Let's go back to that then. How does a gentleman like you, because we're probably, I would gather, similar age. Wow, okay, right, that's good. We've both been drinking oil of Ulay in our porridge. How do you end up as, how do I phrase this? So when I came out of college, the one thing, or when I went to college or the road to college, or even as a kid when I was 5, 7, 9, 10, the whole thing was to in my head, was to want to turn around and drive past and say, well, I created that garden and I also created that and that and that. The alternate, which is kind of up there with the best of them, is when somebody says to you, what do you do for a living? Yes. You get to say something which is probably a little bit better than how I might say it. I can turn around afterwards and say, well, I created that over there.
Yeah.
But you get to say you're a head gardener at Inishbeg. How did that happen with you?
It's funny, really, because I lived in Baltimore for years and I was working on smaller gardens and different projects and I was working in nurseries and stuff like that. But I always passed Inishbeg from the road, main road, and looked over and thought, what a beautiful place. You know, I must get in there sometime. And there's a series of other houses and gardens within this area that are quite stunning. And I knew people working in those gardens. So I was aware of Inishbeg. But always presumed it was private and never really came there. This was 20 years ago. And then I had been working on different projects. Older, I've worked in other estates too, but I met the designer who was involved in Inishbeg, Vernie Naylor. And I started to work for Vernie in her gardens. She had moved recently to West Cork and she was renovating her gardens down in West Cork, or creating gardens, I should say. And she was still involved with Inishbeg. And through Vernie, I got the opportunity to come and visit Inishbeg. And I really instantly, like you, I thought it was an amazing place, just the kind of places I like to work. And I could see the challenges it had and I could see all the opportunities to get stuck in, you know. Pretty soon I showed an interest, met Paul, really liked Paul and Georgiana. And I pretty much started here. Working in the gardens, but not as head gardener. I was doing a lot of different jobs here, but always involved in the wall garden and the growing and stuff like that. And then it just kind of happened over the years. I got really involved in the gardens, which is what I like to do. And I was adding new bits and we were doing other stuff. And it was all to bring the garden forward, you know. And I think they recognized my genuine interest and how inspired I was by this garden. And a couple of years later, the position of head gardener was there and I decided to go for that. And that's what I do here now. And it's a job I really like. And of course, because of being an old estate garden, it has scope. I go to woodland. I'm our wall gardens. I'm growing vegetables. I'm growing fruit. I'm growing flowers. I'm working in pond. I'm kind of doing a variety of work in all different areas, which for me is the key. You know, it keeps everything really fresh and everything kind of enjoyable. You know,
what's the backstory for you? Were you always a gardener? Were you always into that? Did you do the horticulture studying thing?
Well, actually, my first job out of college was shipping. I was involved in food aid programs throughout the world, but I was based in Cork. But we were doing a lot of projects through governmental agencies, I should say. And I got involved with that for years, and then became a bit disillusioned with that because of politics, really. And then did a bit of traveling and stuff like that, and had always been interested in gardens from day one, due mainly to my grandparents, to be honest, because they always grew. They were from West Cork. They were West Cork people. They always had their vegetable garden, their fruit. So as kids, we were involved, you know, and I always had an interest, but never considered it as a career, really. But then it was just a series of opportunities, I guess, you know, meeting people, being involved in some very inspiring gardens, meeting some very inspiring people. And I thought, hang on a minute, this is everything about this I really like. I like the outdoor life. My other job was mainly indoors in offices, and I felt the combination was good. And I went to work on an estate in West Cork, not Inishbeg, it was Lisard Estate. And that really opened my eyes to the world of outdoor work and gardening, and the scope of it and the potential and the creativity of it. And it inspired me, you know, and the people I worked with inspired me, you know. And I thought, that's it, I've found what I want to do. And honestly, it's a real pleasure every day to work in an estate like this. It really is a pleasure every day to work in that.
Well, people say it's a real pleasure, and sometimes they turn around and go, Jesus, if I see one more, and you kind of have one of those moments, and then you realise, okay, well, every gardener I know is a bit of a gripe.
Yeah.
But I was joking with two of the guys who were working with you earlier on, and I was kind of saying, you are pretty much one of the happiest, calmest, most placid. You still have the pressures of doing what you do for a living, of seasonal and things growing, and the frustrations of, I'll call them horticultural frustrations. Yes, they're not real frustrations. But you are a genuine, happy, placid, lovely guy. It's a compliment and it's a credit to you. But is it down to where you work, even though you're still doing all the physicality and the horticultural and verticomas pressures?
It's kind of a combination of things. I mean, every work has pressure, and I often say to people when they come here, they go, oh, this is paradise, you know, you must like get up jumping out of bed every day. And I say, well, not really, you know, it's work. I sometimes have so much work on, I can't kind of see the back of my head kind of thing. I'm running around the place and I feel I have too much to do, but it's all part of it, you know, and I enjoy that, you know, and I know I've been in it long enough to know you get there, you know. And sometimes the things I see as, you know, really that need doing, other people don't see that, you know. So I'm able to work it out, and I've learned how to balance it all out. I think with regards to the question about the lifestyle thing, I think in West Cork the lifestyle is great, regardless of what you're doing and stuff. And I think when you're living in this environment and working in this environment, most people I know seem to have it good. And it's not necessarily about monetary terms. It's not about money in some ways. We all need the money and we're working for money in some ways. But it's more than that. I think people just seem to have a really good lifestyle regardless of their incomes, you know. And that's to do with keeping it quite simple, really. Keeping everything kind of in perspective. And West Cork is good at doing that to you. You know, you're meeting local farmers down in the pub, and you're meeting Hollywood actors and stuff. And it gets a mix of this kind of thing in West Cork where people just learn to chill out, you know, and relax. Not everyone's like, you know, it's not always like that, but I would say the majority of people I know have a pretty good lifestyle in West Cork, and they base work around that.
Okay, just to clarify that and backtrack, the standard of the grounds to which they are maintained is consistently perfection. So the work is done, and they're maybe, I'm just clarifying, over clarifying maybe, but if you get what I'm saying, when you hear somebody saying, you know, they're terribly, God, he's really laid back. If he was any more laid back, he'd fall over. He's got a great lifestyle. You know, it's almost like, you know, you just get up in the morning and lie down in a vegetable bed. It's not like that. The work, without question, is done. Let's get into the estate a little bit more intrinsically, if we can. There is the boathouse area. That's the first part.
Yeah.
There is the walled garden where we are now, which contains the swimming pool and everything that's in it. And that is, by the way, that is in-depth, intrinsic, a lot going on. You'd nearly have a full-time job here just by your own if it was in your back garden. I'll try and put some of that. I saw you on Twitter. I'll send you on a couple of photographs. What else is there?
We have each of the self-catering properties on the estate. They all have gardens, ornamental gardens within that. So each house has their own private garden that we have to maintain on a regular basis for guests coming in, you know, on a weekly basis. It has to look, you know, good at all times for that. We have oats that we grow on the farm, organic oats that we supply Flahavens with. But that's kind of a project that I'm not so much involved with. There's outside contractors come in and do that here. There's woodland gardens. There's main drives coming in. The front of the house has a sunken garden that we maintain. There's quite a lot. There's quite a lot of different areas. And at different times of the year, we do we target different areas. We have two guys who are full time that just do woodland maintenance, trimming, hedge cutting, grass cutting, you know, pretty much all year round. This time of year, I'm focused very much on the ornamental side, on the wall garden, on the visitors' gardens, trying to keep all that going, keep all the produce going for guests and keep the growing side of it up. And we have polytunnels where I grow tomatoes and all that too. So there's a lot going on. So I try to, in some ways, leave the woodlands alone, having done the work in the winter and the spring. I leave them pretty much, except for maintaining paths and kind of clearing and stuff like that. It'll be kind of autumn, winter again before I get back to the woodlands to really give them a good going through again, you know. So I do it in sections, and I try to do everything at the right time, obviously. But there are times where you're kind of running around a bit trying to keep everything going. But I think in an old estate like this, and in the gardens like this on this scale, you have to focus. You have to say, I'm concentrating on this area this week, and I'm going to see that through and finish it, and then move to the next area. Because if you're jumping around, it gets very, in your head too, it gets really difficult to try and put it in order, you know.
Because we were walking up towards the Cherry Avenue. Yeah, we're at that level. But leaving the boathouse, going to the Cherry Avenue, you have to think about that, don't you? There was leaves on the ground. Yeah. And you were saying, I must get them cleared up. Because behind us, there was a couple who are booking a wedding for their son for next year. Yeah. That's pristine, even though it's a woodland area. So in theory, you could have, I won't say got away with it, but it would have been acceptable logically to see leaves on the ground. Yeah. Are you at that level of finery?
Not really. I'd like to be in some ways, but not really. What I was referring to there more were more the main entrance down into the boathouse and the area around the car park of the boathouse. It's a woodland environment all around it. And in some ways, we can overclean, you know, because I had a bride one time that said, I want an autumn wedding with kind of leaves everywhere. So you have to kind of go with that, you know. But I mean, we don't cater for, I mean, it's hard to cater for all that too. I mean, what people need. But generally, what I like to do is I like to have the entrances to all these properties looking clean and tidy. And I mean, leaves are starting to fall. That's a reality. There's a time here where the paths are completely covered in leaves and it's beautiful. I mean, that's part of autumn, you know. But then there's this thing where we're having to kind of maintain it as well, you know, to make it look its best. So no, I like things to look natural and not to look overly fussed about, but at the same time we have to keep on top of things, because things can get very much you know, in a short space of time, and the guys find it harder to maintain than if it's left for a longer time. So you really need to kind of, I'm always looking at things when I'm here. I rarely get to kind of walk around in a shbag kind of having a cup of tea. I am always looking at jobs that need to be done and discussing with people, let's do this next week. But I must say, the team that are here or have been here, some of them are here longer than me, so they know it better than I do. When I talk to them, they say, yeah, we're on that, we're already doing that, we're looking at that. And but we have a good relationship where I let them do what they do, because they know how to do it really well. It's just a bit of discussion in between about when are we going to do it, or maybe there's someone coming in to do this specific thing and we need to have that area ready. So it's kind of it works like that. And Paul then will also, you know, give his input, which is very important, you know, for different areas.
How important is it to have an owner, a person who, let's be frank about this, pays the bills. So if you decide you want to take out X hedge and replace it with X because, let's say, in the case of some box hedging, it may have box blight, and you decide that that needs to be done. Option A, owner turns around and says, owner, bill payer, financee, says, no, you're stumped. You need to maybe reinvent a new form of the wheel. To go a stage further than that, where maybe that's a necessity, there are parts of gardens where you might turn around in a grander plan over a three-year period and say, well, next year I'm going to take that out and we're going to do X, Y, and Z. You have a garden that is pristine. The planting is to perfection. It, at all times, on all of my walks, nothing looks out of place. It is immensely to your credit. It is beautiful. It always feels right, and it's the start. It's that start of the radio show. Go back to the very, very start of this when you're finished. It's by that boathouse with the Middleton, very rare thing. It's that moment overlooking the sea. And we might laugh, but it's a moment in time. It's a moment in time. And when you sit in a garden for, think about that. Would you sit in your own garden for 3, 4, 5 hours? No, well, you would on this bench right here. You would, not joking you, you'd stay here forever. So, people do, I'm being told. So, when I say that, I know it's one thing for me to turn around and compliment you on the planting, but I also know that you need to turn around to another and say, I have a cunning plan. Here is the plan. Here is the design. Here's how much it's going to cost. And they need to say, yes, it's the best football clubs in the world. It's the best music bands. It's the best businesses. It's the best gardens. It's the best houses. It's one of the reasons why I am logically here. How important is that relationship now? I've clarified that one.
It's really important. And actually, one of the reasons I really like what I do here is because Paul's very open to that. He's always open to enhancing the gardens, because he sees the benefit of it in multi ways. You know, he started all this project from nothing, and he's pretty much, done with the main body of work here, but it's always going to be adding more. We're always trying to make it interesting because we have a lot of local people that come into the garden on a regular basis to see it, and we're trying to make new things for them all the time, new areas, or even do a new bit of planting here. But for the gardens themselves, they have to evolve, and I'm always looking at areas with that in mind too. Like every year we plant over 1,000 bulbs on the Cherry Avenue, and we've been doing that the last few years, and we're talking about doing different colours and different colour schemes and stuff. We've just put in some new plants there to kind of extend the season. We're looking at the front garden, the sunken garden. We're talking about maybe doing a whole series of new beds there because that's very popular for photographs, for weddings in particular, which we have a lot of in Inishbeg. So we're trying to balance it all out without doing too, overdoing it. But every time I have an idea, we meet a few times, actually, I wouldn't say a month, but definitely a good few times over the year, and we'll discuss bigger projects, and we'll discuss areas that we think could be enhanced or looked at. And Paul will always, always, always give me a positive feedback about that. He rarely will shoot something down. He'll say, let's explore it. Let's have a look at it. Let's look at the cost of it. Let's see, what we're going to do. The one thing I will say is I don't like just adding things for the sake of it. I think it's beautiful as it is, but we can always be enhancing. But I think for me, if I'm doing any project like that, it has to make sense. It has to be properly done. It has to be done the right way. The preparation has to be done. I don't just do these instant things. It has to be worked on generally over a season, before we really get into the main body of it, so there's a bit of discussion about it, a bit of thinking about it, and then the budget comes into it. But in general, Paul has never turned down a project because of budget. He'll look at the whole thing, and if he feels it's worth the investment, he's very much on for that. So I've always found that quite easy dealing with Paul in that way.
And I'll go back to that analogy of best football clubs, best bands, best gardens in this case. It's the person behind the scenes, and it's two people working together and one front of house. Ultimately, it's the creation. It's the person who puts it together and makes it but you also need think that it's almost like a marriage, if that makes any sense. Is that a fair way to put that?
In some ways, you know, I mean, Paul's would agree his area of expertise isn't the garden, you know, but he appreciates the beauty of it, you know. So, I mean, in a way, that's why he's hiring me. And he had Vernie Naylor, the garden designer, involved at the very start, you know, to really get involved in that too. So he sees the value of it, both in, you know, the beauty of it and the enhancement it has to the estate and the business he's running here, you know.
Well, let's put it the alternate way. If you leave a place sit still for too long, yeah, it gets old and it ages, and it doesn't matter whether it's box hedging and you maintain it. And I'm just making that very simplistic analogy. But in particular in herbaceous planting in the avenues and the bulbs, if the place gets stale, it gets old, you can't plant it year one and then leave it for 15 years. It doesn't work that way.
No, and it's always changing, you know. And I think even Vernie came into the garden recently and hadn't been here for some time and said, oh, that's changed, you know, which I think is a good thing, you know. Yeah. I mean, I agree. I mean, the main body of the work will kind of remain the same, you know, and it kind of, but it changes then throughout the years in some ways. And I think for me, that's what it's all about. I mean, you can't just leave it still. It's like anything in life, you know, as you said, it just gets a bit boring and mundane. And we are open to the public as a garden, and we have garden tours. We do tours for the Taste of West Cork Festival, where people come in to view the garden and the produce, and they're eating lunch out in the garden. So, you know, you're thinking of these things all the time, and you're making the garden. I always want the garden to be at its full potential at any time, you know. And I think that's really the aim, and I hope to achieve that, you know. I'm aware gardens are evolving, you know, they change, so you know you have to go with it sometimes, but you know, you want it to be at its best at most times, and particularly when we have weddings in the garden on a regular basis, you know, that makes a difference to people's day, you know. Not a huge difference, but you know, I like to think it does make a difference, because when we get couples in here, they always remark on the wall garden, especially because it's just lends itself to that so well, you know. So that's where I get my sense of achievement in my work.
He hopes it reaches that potential. Mother of God, that is you think I'm good? Jeepers, yeah. Look, the place is absolutely immaculate. You have got to get to Inishbeg, and I genuinely mean that. You've got to get it. That's not cliched. Are you on the Twitter, Facebook, interweb?
Yes, we're on Facebook and Twitter, and we have our own website, which has just been upgraded recently. It's really, really nice, the new website for Inishbeg. So yeah, it's all there online. I mean, if you just Google Inishbeg, there's a whole lot of stuff that comes up on Inishbeg for sure.
Okay, if you're walking and you've got the earbuds in, you're on the early commute on a Tuesday morning and you're listening to this on the train, don't write it down. Just send us a note at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/sideshow.com. I'll have all the links to Twitter, to Facebook, the etc. in there, and we'll pass you on. Try and seek out that video at the Boathouse. You'll thank you for it. You'll want to come here. You really, really will. In the meantime, Tony, thank you so much. That was a real pleasure.
Yeah, it was a pleasure to have you here. Thank you very much.